You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill, ahead of the Premier League this weekend. Dave Kelner, Tom Kerwin, David McGovern in position, ready to preview the 10 games. And first of all, a warm welcome to Mr. David McGovern. David, good week last week.
Yes, yeah, there was a few big price winners, but sadly, you know, the one I zoned in on for my nap didn't oblige. That was Burnley, I think it was. And he could have won, really, couldn't he? If they had kept 11 men on the pitch, it might well have done. But yeah, some big price winners there, including Hull. I should have gone for Hull, but there you go.
I couldn't believe it, Derek, as well, because I was looking through my phone and then I saw tweets coming in. I thought there was a different podcast they were talking about for a second. There were tweets coming in saying, Derek's won me this amount of money, that amount of money. There were some big price winners on the podcast last week, Tom, but you got your nap up with one that was a slightly shorter price.
Slightly shorter, but never in doubt. I mean, I probably with Chelsea, I should have gone for a little bit more of a comfortable victory, as it turned out to be. But, you know, there's certain teams now, we're into the, you know, it's not the business end of the season, but we know teams now, you know, we've had a good look at them, and teams that are in bad form. And Derek summed up right last week, the teams that are unbackable at the moment, and there's quite a few, and Arsenal are definitely in that mix. So even though they were, you know, up against Chelsea, it was never really in doubt, and Arsenal were really poor.
Let's get stuck in, and we start with Arsenal, in fact. The 12:30 kick-off on Saturday, televised, Arsenal versus Hull. Arsenal 100-30 on here with William Hill. The draw 9-2 with Hull 10-1. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 8-5, now 2-1. Umar Niasse to score and Hull to win was 16-1. That's been enhanced to 25-1. Tom, Arsenal do have a very good record against Hull, as you would expect. They've won 7 of their last 8 Premier League meetings with Hull. But they need to bounce back now after back-to-back Premier League defeats. And Hull are playing very well under Marco Silva. 0-0 draw with Manchester United, followed by a good performance last week against Liverpool, where they won 2-0. And interestingly, Marco Silva won his only previous visit to the Emirates, 3-2 with Olympiacos in the Champions League, and that was last season. Hull are a massive price here at 10-1. Would you expect them to go there and make their presence felt, Tom?
Without a doubt, I expect them to give Arsenal an extremely good game, and that is in part because Hull are in good form. As we've been discussing for the last few weeks, you know, it hasn't gone unnoticed that Hull City under Marco Silva has transformed them, particularly from a defensive point of view. They look like they have more of a game plan now. There's more of an idea. I think earlier on when they had Snodgrass banging them in and Mike Phelan in charge, it was pretty much an idea of, well, if we get a free kick, Snodgrass has a chance, we might get something from a set piece. But there wasn't a lot of thought or tact behind what they were doing. Now there is. Some of the new signings have settled in extremely well. And there's confidence kind of oozing through that club. And it was quite interesting. I was watching some videos this week that Hull fans were posting, just taking certain sort of pundits, in particular some from Sky, when Marco Silva was appointed, and just the shock and the idea that he does not know the Premier League, therefore he will not be a success at Hull. Well, I'll tell you what, he's given them a chance, hasn't he? Many will still feel they're going to go down, but you look how they've clawed the three teams above them right into it. You know, Middlesbrough in the mix. They're only a point, you know, behind 15th place. Middlesbrough's thing stands still in the bottom three. And Arsenal, same old story for them. We're getting to the middle of February. A tough Champions League tie kind of awaits for them against Bayern Munich, so they're probably going to get knocked out there. They're out of the title race as far as I'm concerned, and they were absolutely pathetic last week at Chelsea. No game plan, no idea of how to deal with Chelsea's threats, and you're talking about Arsene Wenger and a so-called collection of top players. Arsenal have made it hard work at home against teams of kind of Hull's ilk and teams that have been in worse form than Hull. Obviously lost to Watford last time. It was 2-1 against Burnley, 2-0 against Palace, 1-0 against West Brom, 3-1 against Stoke. They're giving teams a chance at the Emirates, and I think what Hull will do is they will pray, and I wouldn't necessarily say nerves, but I'd just say sort of a bit of apathy really around Arsenal at the moment, and I don't think there'll be a huge amount of confidence. And normally Arsenal, when they're in the spotlight as they are right now, they normally sort of play up to what everyone's talking about. It's normally when it just disappears and someone else takes the headlines that Arsenal sort of suddenly play well when they're kind of under the radar. When the spotlight's on them, I don't think they perform too well. The only thing I'd say about Hull is away from home, they don't score goals. They've been to Tottenham, they've been to Chelsea, they've been to Manchester United. Okay, they got that point at Old Trafford. But generally, they're not scoring away from home. But I think if you're going to back Hull at any point away from home against a top side, I think this weekend would be the weekend. 10-1 is an absolutely huge price. No faith in Arsenal, but I'm going to take Hull on the handicap here, plus a goal at 13-5. The draw on a bet price of 13-2 is decent enough, but I don't want to be touching Arsenal in any way, shape or form, particularly at those prices.
Could be looking at under 2.5 goals here as well, which is a big price at 13-8, under 2.5 goals in the game. We've said it hundreds of times on this podcast, Derek. For the last decade, this Arsenal team is lily-livered when it comes to the crunch.
Yeah, they've got no leaders in the side, and in my eyes, they haven't got a leader in the dugout either. I mean, you know, there's been lots of rumours circulating this week about Arsene Wenger's future, so I think it's time for the Arsenal board to either say publicly that he's safe or tell the truth, because the guy is living on borrowed time. I just got, you know, I've had so many arguments with Arsenal fans. I won them all, by the way. You know, I've said for many, many years, they should have got shut of him. His time is over. He should have got shut of him years ago. And two FA Cups in a decade doesn't paper over the cracks, and the cracks are getting huger by the week. Now, listen, I wouldn't be back in Arsenal at these kind of odds at the best of times. This is a long way from the best of times, the way they're playing. That performance at Chelsea was unacceptable, but it followed an equally unacceptable performance at home to Watford, who, if you remember at the time, were absolutely probably playing the worst football of anybody in the division. And yeah. Watford went there and won 2-1. That gives you an idea of how Arsenal are struggling. Now, they've also got on Tuesday, I think it could be Wednesday, I can't remember now, Bayern Munich in the knockout stages of the Champions League, so-called the knockout stages of the Champions League, because that's where Arsenal keep getting knocked out. They've got to have an eye on that. They've got to have an eye on that, if you've got any sense, because they ain't going to be winning the league, that's for sure. In fact, the top four might well be beyond them, the way they're playing at the moment. And Hull, right, I tell you what, if you're saying Hull at 10-1 is an outstanding price, imagine what they must have been last week, 7-1 at home to Liverpool. You know, no wonder I went for them big time. I actually think I've got to be with Hull here. The worry, of course, is that Arsenal have had so much stick, and they have still got good players that they could, you know, you could get a reaction. But I'm not going to be prepared to back them up, what 3-10, to show that reaction. I'm with Hull here. I haven't conceded a goal against Man United in Liverpool in their last two matches. Remember a few weeks ago, you're right, Tom, about people criticising Silva when he first came in. It wasn't so much that, though. It was the groundswell sympathy to Mike Beale, and how can they sack him? Look what the job he's done. Well, you know, it's been made to look pretty ropey, the job he did, by Marco Silva, who's done fantastically well, and they've got him playing like a team. And they've formed since Christmas, by the way. Apart from that cup defeat against Fulham, when they pretty much threw in the towel before kickoff, their recent form has been sensational. So, Terry, I wouldn't put anybody off backing them at 10-1. I might do the leap through here and play a lot more cautiously and go away at the Hull with a two-goal start at just under even money. That looks an absolute nailed-on bet, that.
I like the fact that Lee Phelps is always known for on this podcast for his cowardice.
Caution.
Caution. That's the better way of describing it.
Middle name.
Liverpool versus Spurs is 5:30 on Saturday. Liverpool 5-4 to win the match. The draw 23-10 with Spurs in the betting at 12-5. Enhanced odds offers. Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 13-5. Now 3-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win was 19-5. Now 5-1. Liverpool on an 8-game unbeaten run against Spurs in the Premier League. They've won 5 of those and drawn 3, but they've only won 1 in 10. And there's a statistic ahead of this match which is pretty difficult to believe, Derek. This stat comes from Opta. Jurgen Klopp has an identical record to Brendan Rodgers in his opening 54 Premier League games as Liverpool boss. 126, drawn 16, and lost 12. Now, I'm not comparing the two managers, Derek, and it would be foolish to do so, because there's been a definite improvement under Klopp in the last 6 months, but they're going through a bad patch.
Well, it's more than a bad patch. 1 win in 10. I mean, that's simply unacceptable. But a spokesman for Plymouth said, well, we had an off day, it happens. That's the only team they've beaten, Plymouth. It's just absolutely appalling, and it takes you back to the dark days of Roy Hodgson. They're the only Liverpool manager to class a draw against Northampton as a good result, by the way. That's because under him, a draw against Northampton was a good result. I mean, they're absolutely... How on earth can Liverpool be 6-5 favourites for this match? It's beyond belief. They're losing at home to poor teams. Not only are they losing at home, they're being outplayed by them. There's been nothing unlucky about their recent defeats. You know what Liverpool are going to get now. The pressing game has become a depressing game for fans. And when everyone's wondering now where the next points are going to come from, the inspired guess is from Roberto Firmino's driving. It's just absolutely appalling. And there's no way would I be back in Liverpool in this game. The only worry about Tottenham is that for a team that's second in the league and title challenges, they've only won 4 of 12 a Premier League away fixtures. That's really poor, isn't it? That's a poor run for them. They've only lost 2. But only 4 of 12. So, you know, you look at the 12-5 and think, yeah, you know, a little bit worried by that. What I'm going to go for is a draw, and I'll tell you why. I mean, Man United must have fancied themselves a few weeks ago to beat Liverpool at Old Trafford, the score 1-1. Chelsea must have fancied themselves at Anfield a week ago, the score 1-1. Spurs probably fancied themselves against Liverpool at White Hart Lane earlier in the season, the score 1-1. And what's the trend there? There's a whole heap of fancying going on. And I fancy a 1-1 draw here. In fact, that's what I'm going to play for. I've got a sneaking feeling that Pochettino, the Spurs manager, will be well happy with the draw. And I think he'll know how to play Liverpool. Just don't give them, you know, don't come at them. Just sit back, wait for them to make a mistake and strike on the break. I could manage a team at Anfield now and get something out of it.
1-1 draw available at 6-1 here with William Hill. Spurs are unbeaten in 11. They look very good defensively. But in their last couple of games, Tom, they have lacked that killer instinct, that cutting edge.
That's what's cost them, Tottenham, in terms of being closer to Chelsea. They've drawn too many matches away from home. I remember early on in the season, you know, they went to Bournemouth and drew. They went to West Brom and only picked up a point. Even against Arsenal, they were the better side for a lot of that game, and they ended up drawing. And Pochettino is a cautious manager. I mean, he's a brilliant manager, but he is cautious away from home. He is definitely in the camp that a point is a decent result away from home. But unfortunately, with Chelsea's run, it's meant that they're some way behind, and I think Tottenham have to win it to really kind of try and put any kind of pressure on Chelsea this weekend. I'm with Derek. I've written down 1-1 in this game as well. I can see exactly the same thing happening, because two of the last three meetings between these two sides have ended one apiece. And also, Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, a lot was made of kind of his record this season against the rest of the top six. And they are the best Liverpool. They've got the most points from meetings against the teams in and around them. So it tells you something about either the mentality of the Liverpool players and Jurgen Klopp as well. Does he? I mean, I can't see there being a lack of motivation. I can't see it being that. But I think there is a complacency when Liverpool play games they're expected to win. And they'll still be expected to win this one. But I think it's so easy now at Anfield to quieten down the home support. And it doesn't help Jurgen Klopp with stats like that you mentioned, you know, comparing him to Brendan Rodgers. I mean, Brendan Rodgers had Luis Suarez, you know, and Raheem Sterling, and, you know, and probably a more potent front line. But ultimately, Jurgen Klopp, there's a lot of flaws now being detected, and a lot of his weaknesses, particularly in the transfer market. Maybe the club's problems in the transfer market have been identified. So, look, Tottenham are a team on the up, but I think they will take a point. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a great result for Tottenham, because I think you've got to really put the pressure on Chelsea and you've got to beat a team like Liverpool, the form they're in. But I think it'll be all square as well. I think Tottenham will settle for it, and Liverpool will be thankful for anything from this game.
6-1, the 1-1 draw. 23-10 if you're just playing the draw in the 90-minute market. On to Burnley versus Chelsea, which is televised on Sunday, 1:30 kick-off. And Burnley are 8-1 to win this game. The draw 7-2 with Chelsea in the betting at 2-5. We're talking about Fortress Turf Moor at the moment. Only Spurs and Chelsea have more home Premier League points than Burnley this season. But unfortunately for Burnley, Tom, they're taking on a Chelsea side that have the best away record in the Premier League, picking up 26 points already away from home this season. And going into the weekend, 9 points clear at the top of the table. Chelsea 2-5 to extend their lead even further and pick up 3 points.
Yeah, we've talked about Burnley, and you know we've kind of talked about, well, they must get a result away from home. And I think without the sending off early doors last week at Vicarage Road, they would have been in a chance of winning that game, so they didn't do too badly in the end. But likewise, at home, this home run has got to come to an end, and I feel it will come to an end against Chelsea. This is, you know, this Chelsea side and the way they play and the resilience they show, I don't know how Burnley are going to approach it and make life too difficult for Chelsea, because I get a sense from this Chelsea side that this kind of fixture is not going to bother them in any way. You know, Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool, those teams at the moment going to Turf Moor wouldn't fancy, and indeed, they've struggled to get results there this season. Chelsea, I think it's going to be a different story. You know, Burnley will be up for it, but there's or the only thing Sean Dyche has got to kind of guard against slightly here is a little bit of complacency, and it is natural. It happens. Burnley now are well away from the relegation fight. There's too many teams below them that are going to overtake them. There's too many teams around them sliding in the wrong direction. And Burnley know that this kind of fixture is not all important for them. They go to Hull and they go to Swansea in the next couple of matches, and then they go to Anfield. So there's plenty of opportunities for points, particularly picking up maybe that first away win at some point. So, I think Chelsea win this game. I was very impressed with them against Arsenal, but Arsenal pretty much rolled over, and you just can't back against them, can you? The only thing I would say, and my angle really on this one is low on goals. 10 of the 15 home games that Burnley have had have been under 2.5 goals, and they will do enough to keep it a tight game. Chelsea, 2-0, 1-0. Once they get themselves in front, if they score the first goal, they'd push for a second, but they won't push too hard. And if they're in control of the game, that's what they'll be. So I'm going to go for a Chelsea win and under 2.5 goals here. Some might look and say, well, Chelsea have got the firepower. They could win 3 and 4. They won't at Burnley. They'll win, but possibly only just. So Chelsea and under 2.5 goals is the play for me.
That's available at 21-10 here with William Hill. Chelsea 1-0, by the way, is 11-2. 2-0, also 11-2. The enhanced odds here, Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win, was 12-1, now 16-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 6-4, now 2-1. Couple of players really standing out for Chelsea this season, Derek. The one that I just mentioned, Eden Hazard, who is back to his absolute best right now. And N'Golo Kante, I know how much you respect that player that sits in front of the back four, Derek, but he has been beast-like this season. Come on.
I could play in that position. What is it? How can we glorify a glorified defender? He's basically a defender whose job it is to go out there, run around like mad, trying to break up the opposition play. I tell you what, I could get a 14-year-old schoolboy now who can't play football, and I could get him to do that. If I coach him every day, I could get him to do that. I like the flair players, the magic players, people who can do things that I can't do. N'Golo Kante doesn't do a single thing that I couldn't do. I will never praise people like that. Never, ever. Well, that said, he has been playing pretty well. I can't avoid Burnley at 8-1 here, you know.
Really?
I mean, we've doubted them all season, and all season they've been making us look foolish. I mean, top teams have gone there and been soundly beaten. Now, okay, Chelsea are the best team to go there, unquestionably, but they're not that far the best. I know they're 9 points clear, but in my eyes, they're not a 9-point better side than anybody else in the Premier League, Chelsea. I honestly don't believe that. I don't think there's that much stardust in that team, Eden Hazard apart. And they are capable of throwing in the odd, you know, the odd blip. I mean, that performance against Liverpool when they drew 1-1 their last away game, that was very, very ordinary. Very ordinary. Okay, they came away with the result they probably wanted, but that owed more to Liverpool's, you know, recent trough than anything else. I can't oppose a side who are 8-1 to win at home when they've won 9 games at home this season. I'm sorry, I can't do that. If I did, I'll be booting myself in the car on Saturday, because it's just wrong to miss it, and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for Burnley here at 8-1, because I don't think Chelsea are as infallible. I've said this many, many weeks now. I don't think they're as infallible as everybody makes out, and they probably will win the league, but there ain't that 9-point gap is going to be a lot shorter come the final weeks.
Burnley, the player for Derek at 8-1. At 4 p.m. on Sunday, it's Swansea versus Leicester. And Swansea are 7-5 to win the match. The draw 23-10, with Leicester in the market at 21-10. Enhanced odds, Gylfie Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 3-1, now 4-1. And Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 19-5, now 5-1. A lot of the talk for the past couple of weeks now, Derek, has been about Claudio Ranieri and whether he should be sacked by Leicester. We've seen Paul Clement do a good job at Swansea coming midway through the season. Marco Silva at Hull. Could making a change work now? And are they doomed if they don't make a change, Derek?
No, I don't think they're doomed. I mean, there's still talent. This is a team that's in the knockout stages of the Champions League. You know, can you imagine that in any other league in Europe? A team that's in the knockout stage, the last 16 of the champion, and you look at their home league and they're like the fourth from bottom. You can't imagine it, can you? I can't put my finger on why it is. How can Ranieri go from managing that team to win the title to where they are now? He doesn't become a bad manager, does he? There's something gone wrong there, and no one's explaining what it is. I mean, there's talk of unrest there, and you know, but it's clear that what goes on in the dressing room should stay in the dressing room. As indeed should Jamie Vardy in his current form, because he's been an absolute shocker of a season for him after a stellar season last year. I don't know what to think about this game. I'm loving the way Swansea are playing right now. That performance against Liverpool, I'd suspected that was coming. You know, they got beat 4-0 at Arsenal the week before that, but have played really well for about 70 minutes in that game. So their form since then has been excellent. They lost at Man City last week, but only late on. They're playing well. Leicester are playing abysmally. I've got to go for Swansea. Leicester won't go down. I'm pretty sure about that. But Swansea won't win it. They won't win anything here. Swansea for me.
I'm not sure about that at all, Tom. I think Leicester could go down. I think it depends how they do in the Champions League. I think it would be better for Leicester in the Premier League if they get knocked out of the Champions League, because then the board might think, let's make a change now. I know a lot of the professionals, ex-professional footballers, are saying, how could you possibly sack Claudio Ranieri? But they could go down if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's untouchable as far as the sack is concerned, but I think the owners at Leicester, and when they first came in at the club, you know, they brought in Sven-Göran Eriksson and they had quite a few managerial changes. Nigel Pearson came back and, you know, they stumbled across Ranieri to a point, and they stumbled across a squad of players who came together at the perfect time to produce almost the perfect season. Ranieri was instrumental in that in many ways, but I think what they have at board level at Leicester is, a huge amount of loyalty for the people that got them in the position they've been in, and I don't think Ranieri will go anytime soon. But having said that, there is definitely discontent within the dressing room, and whether that's Ranieri's fault or not, it comes from the fact that the team aren't performing or losing games. I mean, it's not. I mean, Vardy's grabbing a lot of the headlines, but the rest of the players look absolute shells compared to how they were last year. Wes Morgan, you know, looks like what he always was in his career, which was pretty much a second division defender. Kasper Schmeichel's flapping at things now. Drinkwater is trying to make up for that wonderful player, superstar that was next to him last season, Kante. You know, and Mahrez, there's not a squeak out of him. He can't get his team right. And the thing about in the FA Cup in midweek, Damari Gray was sensational. He is such a talent. He's quick, he's direct, he's a goal threat. He can't even get in that Leicester team. I think he'll play this weekend, though. I think Ranieri will be absolutely foolish not to play him in this game. But for Swansea's point of view, they're playing well. And actually, you look at their next few fixtures. OK, they go to Chelsea next week. But then they host Burnley. And whatever we think about Burnley, they are poor away from home. And then they go to Hull City. And then they go to Bournemouth. These are winnable games for Swansea. And they've got to put Leicester in that group. There's no doubt Paul Clement, I think he's just picked up the Manager of the Month award as well for his impact. He will be somebody now who will look at this game and think, we've got to get 3 points at home. And they have turned things around slowly at home. If they win this one, they put Leicester into deep trouble. And the problem they've got, Leicester, is they're in a rut. And when you're in a rut and you're down there, it is difficult to claw your way out of it. And the teams below them are showing signs of life, and Leicester aren't. So can't disagree with Derek here. I'm all over Swansea at 7-5.
The final televised match this weekend is on Monday night, 8 p.m. kickoff, Bournemouth versus Man City. And Bournemouth are 6-1. The draw 19-5. Manchester City 4-9. Enhanced odds, Benik Afobe to score and Bournemouth to win was 19-2, now 12-1. And Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win was 15-8. That's been enhanced to 5-2. Manchester City have never lost to Bournemouth in the league, winning 7 and drawing 2. And Bournemouth have also lost all three of their Premier League meetings against City, scoring once, conceding 13 times, lost 4-0 twice and 5-1 on the other occasion. And they come into this, Tom, on the back of a 6-3 beating against Everton. They've conceded, obviously, the most Premier League goals in this calendar year. And they capitulated defensively last week. And it's worrying the way Bournemouth are performing at the moment.
Yeah, and how they're conceding goals. It almost seems to be the same kind of goals they're conceding, you know, over and over again. And Bournemouth are the perfect opponents for Pep Guardiola. You can almost imagine Pep, you know, on a day before a game, if he's on the training pitch and he's setting up his team 11... maybe up against a team, he'd set them up almost like Bournemouth to play against. You know, he'd give his players loads of confidence, he'd have them wide open, and his players would be scoring goals. This is absolutely perfect fixture for Man City right now to get a victory, and also bag loads of goals. Not only that the fixture suggests that, but recent form suggests it as well. Man City still aren't anywhere near a fluent side yet, but they've got too many goal threats here, and they're up against what I perceive right now to be the most vulnerable defence in the Premier League, along with Crystal Palace. So over 3.5 goals at 6-4 looks great. Obviously, Gabriel Jesus has come in and just done amazingly, hasn't he? 16 to 5, he is two or more in this one. I just see Man City winning, and I just see there being a boatload of goals. Man City won't keep a clean sheet, by the way. Man City and both teams to score at 15 to 8 is decent, but I think it's a Monday night cracker, this one. If you're in the market for goals and you want to see an explosive game, because every time Bournemouth seem to take on a so-called big side, there ends up being four or five goals in a game, so I think it'll be the same in this one.
Derek, I've got to agree with Tom here. I almost guaranteed goals, and I'm concerned it could finish 0-0 now. I'm that certain there's going to be a boatload.
Exactly. It always does. How many times does that happen? But yeah, that 15-8, it's leaping out at you. There's enough to confuse it. It's actually nutting me in the face now, that 15-8. But that's Man City. Both teams to score and Man City to win. What you say about when Bournemouth play a big team is right. 3-3 against Arsenal, 3-4 against Liverpool. Do you class Everton as a big team? I don't know. 3-6. City have beaten Bournemouth the last two times they played them, 4-0. That's a bit of a worry for the both teams to score market, but in when Bournemouth have been getting hammered, they have been getting on the score sheet, and looking at City's defence, they generally do let people get on the score sheet, so that stands out. City will win this. I mean, if you're backing a 4-9 team away from home, this is the team to back, but a little bit too sharp in my liking, sort of 15-8, both teams to score, City to win.
On to the non-televised matches this weekend, all Saturday, 3 p.m. and Stoke, Crystal Palace is first. Stoke 11-10 to win the game. The draw 23-10 with Crystal Palace 14-5. Enhanced odds, Peter Crouch to score and Stoke to win was 13-5, now 3-1. And Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, I'm kind of surprised Stoke aren't a little bit shorter given what happened last week. If a team gets battered at home to Sunderland, there's an underlying problem there. And maybe this is the season Sam Allardyce struggles at a struggling club.
Yeah, they weren't struggling that much until he got there, to be honest. I mean, you know, everyone was saying this is the easiest job he's got. Look at the players he's got there. There's no way Palace would be going down. And there they sit now, second from bottom, and Hippo Head has done an absolute disaster of a job there so far. Unbelievably, Palace's record against Stoke in recent seasons is great. I think they've won the last five matches against them, 2-1 in each of the last two seasons at the Britannia. So I think maybe that's why Stoke are the price they are, but I didn't expect to see them what are the evens odds against in this?
11-10 they are. 11,
yeah, it's a big price, that, isn't it? Palace looked there for the taking to me. I said a few weeks ago, it seems to me, and this has been come out in the papers since, it seems to me that the players thought they would think they're better than a Sam Allardyce team. They think they can play their way out of football, whereas Allardyce has probably come in and said, right, fullbacks get it, well, yeah, that's his MO. And then, you know, the players won't have that. This is that team. I might be talking absolute baloney there, but it stinks of it at the moment. And if you're going to get that clash between manager and players and you're in the relegation dogfight, it's bye-bye at the end of the season. Stoke will win this, I'm convinced of it.
11-10 Stoke to win the game. Picked up just 4 points in his first 7 Premier League games as Palace boss Sam Allardyce. Stoke aren't in fantastic form either, but they've had some difficult recent assignments. Draws at home against Manchester United and Everton. And last week they were beaten, Tom, by West Brom. And they are one of the surprise packages this season.
Oh, without a doubt. You talk about Sam Allardyce picking up points, but I'd seen a picture this week of him in Nando's, so all on his lonesome as well. I think he's seeking some consolation there. At least he's picking up his loyalty points there. I don't know if he's got one of those black cards or not, but
he's got a whole book full, I think.
He must do. So. He is really struggling, and you know, and also what Derek mentions there about players and a manager maybe clashing, but what are fans and the players clashing? I mean, the only thing that the Palace players will be happy about is that this is away from home, but you know how Stoke Stadium's set up. The away fans are right on top of the tunnel there. And if things aren't going right, the Palace players are just going to continue where they left off at Sellers Park, which is getting absolute pelters. They're actually a bit of a disgrace, Palace, the way they're playing. You know, they've got too many players there on too big a contracts. I mean, they've really splashed the cash. I don't know the figures off the top of my head, but I would guarantee they're one of the top spending sides easily outside the kind of top six, top seven teams in the Premier League. They've conceded a lot of goals this season. It's been a big problem for Palace. They were a good side under Pardew when they were going well, defensively sound, counter-attacking team. But they've conceded 5 at Swansea this season, 3 at West Ham, 3 at Burnley, 3 at Hull, 3 at Leicester. Now, I know we can talk individually about those teams, but that is an awful sort of run of away games and the goals they conceded. They're up against the Stoke side, who I think maybe are the price they are based on the fact they haven't got over the line very often, have they, at home? Drawn with Southampton, drawn with Leicester, drawn with Manchester United, drawn with Everton. The only win in their last 5 home games came against a Watford side, who, as we know, have been pretty poor. But I think this is a different story altogether against Crystal Palace. This is a Stoke win all day long. They're going to have too much on them. And I don't mind actually the headline offer of Crouch to score and Stoke to win, because Palace look particularly vulnerable from any kind of balls in at their penalty area. And I think Crouch would probably lap them up. But no way can you be backing Palace this weekend. They're a poor side in a real bad way.
On to Sunderland versus Southampton, and Sunderland are 11-4 to win the match. The draw 5-2, Southampton 21-20. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 4-1, now 5-1. And Manolo Gabbiadini to score and Southampton to win was 23-10. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Tom, if you've been sucked into backing Southampton at short odds the last couple of weeks, you've had your fingers burned. They've been beaten away at the Liberty, and West Ham went to St Mary's last weekend and won. Sunderland point against Spurs, followed by a convincing win against Crystal Palace last weekend. I know that result probably flattered Sunderland and gave us more of an indication of where Palace are at, but there's no doubt these prices are too heavily skewed in the favour of Southampton.
Yeah, far too much. Sunderland is probably one of my favourite bets this weekend at home against the Southampton side, who, you know, when I was looking at the league table, and generally we've talked about Southampton as being, a decent side and, you know, capable of producing the goods, but, you know, there's a couple of key losses for them. Charlie Austin and Van Dijk at the moment injured. Font has obviously left the club. So defensively, they're that little bit weaker. One win in their last six. And they've only won 7 of their 24 Premier League games. Now, I guarantee if you went down the street and said how many games has Santa won this season, people would have thought that it would be in double figures. But 7 wins from 24 matches means they cannot be backed at 21-20. Look, Sunderland are what they are. They're a difficult team to kind of catch right, because every time you think they're going in the right direction, they slump back down to earth. For example, they beat Watford, they drew a Liverpool at home, and you're thinking, yeah, there's a bit of encouragement at the stadium alight. Then they put in an awful performance against Stoke and end up losing 3-1. But then they battle to get a draw against Tottenham, which is a good result. I just think their overall form at the moment and the goals that they're scoring is enough for me to back a Southampton side who are defensively weak and don't look to me to be much of a goal threat. So I think the fact that Southampton just aren't converting any of their matches at the moment into victories suggests to me that they're going to be a good thing to back against. And that League Cup final, we touched on it. It's obviously weighing over the club. I mean, every single week, every single day, they will be discussing it. I know they'll try not, but it will be in the back of their minds. And I think we'll see Southampton drift a little bit further down the table before they start climbing back up. But I think Sunderland after last week are a good thing.
Sunderland 11-4 to win the game for Tom. David Moyes got a good record against Southampton as well. He's only lost once in 11 previous meetings when a manager against Southampton. So that's a good record. Derek?
11-4 Sunderland is ridiculous. Week after week, I'm saying the same thing. What is it about Southampton? It's as though your odds compilers are listening to this and then you think, oh, McGovern's got it this weekend. Okay, double or quits. Double or, you know, the anthem of the loser, double or quits. Wake up, lads. Southampton at evens, what, just over even money, is it?
Yeah, 21-20, Derek.
What punter in his right mind would back that? Nobody. Absolutely no. Most punters I know are clueless, and not even they would be touching that. Sunderland have to be backed here. Not because of the 4-0 win at Palace, which was a great result, but you've got to wonder how bad Palace were. But that 0-0 draw at home to Tottenham, that's a good result, that. And that followed not that long after a 2-2 draw against Liverpool, when they were sensational in my eyes. It's not that, to be honest, it ain't that much to choose between these two sides. Furthermore, you've got Southampton with the League Cup final. I mean, we've seen it season after season. A team like Southampton, of Southampton's ilk, get to the League Cup final, and the Premier League form falls off a cliff. And I understand why. If I played for them, it'd probably be the same with me as well. Sunderland are unmissable this week. Absolutely unmissable.
I agree. 11-4, Sunderland to win that game at home against Southampton. Middlesbrough versus Everton at the Riverside is next. 14-5, Borough to win this game. The draw 23-10, and Everton 11-10. Enhanced odds, Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 5-1, now 7-1. A couple of enhanced odds for Romelu Lukaku as well. For him to score and Everton to win, that was 2-1, now 5-2. And for him to score 2 or more in the game, that was 6-1, now 7-1. And he's actually, Derek, scored in both of his previous appearances against Borough for Everton, scoring once in the 2-0 win in the League Cup last season and the 3-1 win earlier this season. And he's now the Premier League top goal scorer as well after his 4 goals last week against Bournemouth. Middlesbrough-Everton, how do you view this one, Derek?
I think Lukaku scored more last week than Borough scored all season. That's a statistic I've just made up, but 79% of statistics are made up on the spot, so it's allowed. Everton will win this all day long, absolutely all day long. And you know what? There's talk from Goodison now of catching a top four spot, certainly catching Liverpool. They're 6 points behind now. You never would have thought that when you watched the Merseyside derby just before Christmas. They're playing fantastically well. Take away that defeat against Leicester in the FA Cup when you have to question their commitment. Their league form reads unbelievably well. And Middlesbrough, they can't get any victories. They don't seem to be able to win a game. They just do not have enough firepower. And I can't see them. If they score against Everton, it'll be just the one goal. And Everton at the moment look capable of putting a few past any team. 4 past Man City, 6 past Bournemouth, 3 past Southampton. Everton shouldn't be odds against here. They will win.
I like what I like what Ronald Koeman's doing at Everton as well, Tom. He's promoting youth, or giving them a chance anyways. He's used the most teenagers in the Premier League this season. Tom Davis, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Mason Holgate, Ademola Lookman, all playing some part. He's doing well at the club.
Well, I think Ronald Koeman was trying to make it very clear to the owners, and I never understand why managers have to try and send their messages through team selection or anything else, but he wasn't happy with some of the transfer business that was done. Made it very clear in January when it went out and signed Ademola Lookman, who looks an incredibly exciting prospect and been talked about for a few years. And then, Everton have managed to take the plunge on him. But I think he inherited, didn't he, an ageing squad. Everyone could kind of see that. And, Everton have always produced good young players. And he's doing that. He's promoting it because I think he feels he's got no choice. I think he feels he can't put his faith in the older players that he kind of inherited. So, Everton are on a good thing and Derek used the word firepower. That is what this game is all about. Middlesbrough don't have it, and Everton have it in absolute spades. And they've got a striker who is in form. And the thing with Romelu Lukaku is a bit like Wilfred Bonny when he was at Swansea a few seasons ago. He's a streaky player. When he's scoring, you want to be backing him because that tends to be how he goes. He can go 3 or 4 weeks without a goal, but when he's on a run, you've got to get all over him. And I think he's going to absolutely terrorise this Middlesbrough defence. I mean, the one thing you'd look at. Middlesbrough is, they do keep things tight at home. Everton have drawn 2 of their last 3 away games. Middlesbrough have drawn 9 games this season, but no team in the league has won less matches than Middlesbrough. So you can never look at Middlesbrough to win. I think the draw potentially could be a scupperer, but I can't see it. I think Everton win the game. But I tell you what I really like. Romelu Lukaku has scored 2 or more goals. It's enhanced. It's 7-1 for Lukaku to score 2 or more. And when he's on fire, you want to be backing him.
Manchester United next, 1-4 Manchester United to win the game. The draw 5-1 with Watford 12-1. Enhanced odds, Henrik Mkhitaryan to score and Manchester United to win was 11-8, now 6-4. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 20-1. That's been enhanced to 25-1. The exact moment, Tom, that I said Watford were one of the worst sides in the league coincided with a run of back-to-back Premier League wins against Burnley and Arsenal. That win last week against Burnley was definitely aided by Jeff Hendricks sending off inside the opening 10 minutes. Manchester United just looking for that spot in the top four now, aren't they? Hindered by those 3 successive draws in the league. Last weekend they beat Leicester City convincingly. 1-4 here, Manchester United.
Yeah, actually, I think I'd seen Watford's official Twitter feed this week had a little picture inside their home dressing room, and I think they had a picture of your face, our faces, with everything we've said about Watford the last few years as motivation for the players, and they translated into 32 languages just to make sure everyone could get it. They've hit a little bit of form, haven't they? They've got some results, and this is more about Manchester United, though, for me. When I think about this game, I think Manchester United are difficult to fancy at the price. They really are. 1-4. I've never been that convinced about what Mourinho's doing there. I think, they've had little runs where people thought, hold on, they're onto something. And then they drop points against teams they've got to be beaten. And this kind of falls into that bracket, really. They failed to beat Burnley. They failed to beat Hull recently at kind of similar prices. And the thing with Hull and Burnley is they're kind of scrapping sides. I'm not too sure about Watford. When I look at them, I think, are they a team that are really going to be, going there and absolutely thinking a point is going to be brilliant? Are they going to scrap? Are they going to defend for their lives? I'm not too sure. I think Watford are comfortably mid-table, unbeaten in 4. They don't really need to defend. I think what they'll end up doing is going there and thinking this is a free shot, and their attacking players will probably feel that they can cause some problems for Manchester United. So at the price, I can't really trust Manchester United enough to win the game. I can't. The draw at 5-1, potentially tempting, but when I start thinking about it in my head, I still can't trust Watford either. So this is a really difficult game for me to pick. I'll tell you what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Manchester United to squeeze over the line on the handicap tie to win by a goal. So at 14-5. If not, I'm kind of torn between that or Watford plus a couple of goals at 19-20. But everything I've said about Manchester United, I'm going to throw out the window and go for them to win by a goal.
And Manchester United are on the on their longest Premier League unbeaten run since Sir Alex Ferguson retired in 2013. 15 games without defeat in the Premier League, but they've drawn seven of those, Derek.
Yeah, no, they don't win enough games for a team that's 1-4. You'd want a better home record, wouldn't you? Five wins at home from 12. More draws than they had wins at Old Trafford this season. And that's why they're so far adrift of the title race. I just don't know what to think about Watford. 10th, how on earth are a team as bad as that 10th?
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. I mean, that result against Arsenal, that defied all kinds of logic, belief. Defied everything. I don't understand it. But maybe the performance against Chelsea a week later by Arsenal maybe explained it to a small degree. And then they follow up with that win against Burnley, 3 games, as you say, by that sending off. I'm not getting fooled by Watford. I still think they're a very, very poor side. Man United are anything but it's 1-4. How can you trust a side like that? I can't. What I'm going to do is take that enhanced odds one, Mkhitaryan to score and United to win at 6-4. He's looked their most dangerous attacker. He plays further forward than I've ever seen him play, and United are going to get a lot of chances against Watford. So I don't mind backing a 6-4 loser. I hate backing a 1-4 loser.
We finished the podcast with the Hammers versus the Baggies at the London Stadium, West Ham versus West Brom. And West Ham are 5-4 to win the game. The draw 11-5 with West Brom 5-2. Enhanced odds, Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 12-5, now 3-1. And Matt Phillips to score and West Brom to win was 6-1, now 8-1. Three wins in four for West Ham, and West Brom unbeaten in three now as well, Derek. And this should be a good game to watch. I'm not entirely convinced which way I'd lean if I was making a prediction here, Derek.
No. And the odds have killed me. I was really praying. I looked at this fixture and I thought, West Ham are coming into a bit of form. You might get a tidy price here for West Brom. You might just get a 3-1. And that would have been my cue to weigh in. They're not as 5-2. These things are probably the best you'll get. And it tempers it a little bit. I can't be backing West Ham at these odds. They're too short. Okay. You know, they've got three wins in the last four, but the teams they've beaten have been Palace, Middlesbrough and Southampton. The Southampton team that, you know, is elsewhere. Middlesbrough team that can't score on the Palace side that just can't do anything. So I'm not getting fooled by that. West Brom have been the surprise package of the season, unbelievably, playing unbelievably well, scoring goals, looking an attacking side. But away from home, I wanted more than 5-2. The last two times they've gone to West Ham, albeit a different ground, they drew 1-1. I can see that happening again. I'll go for the draw.
11-5, the draw. The 1-1 draw is 6-1. West Brom, I think, Tom, subscribed to the theory that controlling the ball is overrated because they've actually got the average, the lowest possession in the Premier League this season, just 37%. They're the only side this season yet to have more possession than their opponents in a single Premier League game, which is incredible given how well they've performed.
Well, they must have just taken a leaf out of Leicester's book from last season, because Leicester almost did that all year, didn't they? West Brom are a difficult team to try and explain. You know, if people look at them, it still shocks me when I look at their league position, and then I look at their squad of players, and even more so the fact they have Solomon Rondon up front. But they are a team that...
Didn't mention him this week.
No, we didn't. They are a side that are kind of greater than the sum of their parts, and that's Tony Pulis all over, isn't it? You know, people kind of knock him, but... Wherever he's been, he's had success, and he's doing the same thing at West Brom. If West Brom finish in the top half of the table, that is an incredible result. And I think with this one, the fact that he has that little bit of a cushion over West Ham, you know, 5-point cushion at the moment, 8th and 9th, he'll be quite happy just to keep that exactly the same. You know, he's quite meticulous, Pulis, week by week, game by game. And I think he'll go to London Stadium and think a point is decent. West Ham are a different prospect. I think 2 months ago, Pulis would have thought, yeah, we can go there and win the game, no problem. But West Ham now, the confidence is kind of coming back a little bit to them. They're playing well. They're scoring goals. I think West Brom would take a draw all day long. And you've got to say that they are more than good enough to do it. So I'm with Derek on this one. I think it will be a draw and a score draw the way both sides have been playing.
11-5, the draw. If you think it's going to be a draw and both teams to score, that's 16-5 here with William Hill. Naps then, chaps. Derek, you lead us off this week.
Oh, right. Well, it's a bit unfair to let me go first. I fear I'm going to take a price that you both want, and I've been first the last couple of weeks. So Does somebody else want Sunderland? Because I'm going to go for Sunderland if nobody else wants it.
You can have it, Derek.
Yeah, okay. I don't want it, Derek.
Okay, Sunderland for me.
Sunderland for you, Tom.
I wanted Sunderland. I just cannot see Crystal Palace turning it around at all, so I'm going to go Stoke minus a goal at 11-4.
Stoke minus one for Tom at 11-4. And you know what? I'm going to finish it off with I fancy Swansea to win at home against Leicester this week. So that's going to be the treble.
That's
you
a
like
great
that one?
That. Yeah. And I wouldn't put anybody off throwing Everton in as well at Middlesbrough.
Stoke minus one, by the way, is 11-4. So that goes in with Sunderland at 11-4. And I'm going with just a straight Swansea to win at home against Leicester City, and that's 7-5. That treble, 32.75-1. Sunderland, Stoke minus one, and Swansea to win. Chaps, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Remember, hashtag Your Odds is available on the televised games. Just tweet your bet to @WilliamHill using the hashtag Your Odds. And myself, Derek, and Tom will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.